morning, everybody.
Morning.
I tell you what, I am so deeply thankful and overflowing with gratitude for how the Lord works. I'm going to run some scenarios by you. A long time ago, there was a young man that was an absolute idiot. His name was Bill Compton. And he met a man by the name of Grandpa Penny, D.L. Penhollow. He interfaced with me and helped me realize that I was an idiot in a nice way. Not that I'm a nice idiot, but that he did it nicely. And so after I became a Christian, I spent time with him. And then I had the privilege of working with a crazy wild man by the name of Matt Kaikula. And by the grace of God, Matt Kaikula is an awesome brother in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right? And, you know, sometimes he's on the fringe, but it's always, you know, near and dear to the heart of God. Amen? So then we get a character like Brian Bragg. You know, and somehow he's got this wild and craziness about himself, too. And praise God. See? And then we have, you know, Eric Johnson gets up here and he preaches completely different than I do, but it's the same message. And I just love it. Praise God. And his lovely wife. Praise God. Scott Kirkpatrick. Praise God. Over and over and over again. Brian McKinney. Praise God. His lovely bride. Praise God. It's just a matter of being willing to be used as a tool by God. And I'm humbled when I have these really amazing people in my life now. This young man that was an absolute terrible person now is a man that can be used by God. And the beauty of the family that we have is absolutely amazing. It's really absolutely amazing. You know, yesterday I had the privilege of serving Thomas and Jaspin. And their beautiful son, what an amazing boy. 7 months old, he had such a profound impact on people's lives. One of the three cardiologists that worked with them and with Asher was here yesterday, named Eric.
His name was also Eric Johnson.
Yeah, he was also an Eric Johnson, sitting just two seats down from you. In fact, he had red hair. Not gray, but red. Yes. And then there was a social worker that worked in the NICU, and she said so many beautiful things about the power that Jaspin had in touching the lives of other women who were in a very similar situation. And this is before she was with Asher. I mean, she was sacrificing herself. And she wrote this beautiful little praise for Melissa. Melissa reached out to her. Jaspin in need, and Jaspin is reaching out to others. And Melissa came, and I gave her a hug, and that's how, you know, a former student got started in her journey with Jesus. You see what happens when we yield ourselves to God? Honestly, I have to tell you, I didn't really understand what this thing was all about when I became a Christian, but God kept opening the doors, and I'm thankful that I walked through those doors. I wouldn't be here today. This beautiful family that we're a part of wouldn't be here today. You know, so thankful, deeply thankful for what God has done and is doing for us and through us. It's amazing. So, I continue to overflow with gratitude for each and every one of you in your service to the Lord. I don't know how awesome it is for this guy to be in a public school teaching the word from the Bible to a bunch of young people to inspire them. And we had an opportunity for old coach to coach a young coach, and it was great. Praise God. When we understand that we are just weapons, as it says, instruments or weapons in the hand of a mighty God. Amen? Amen? And so, Mr. Kirkpatrick, thank you for leading prayer meditation and praying for us. It was awesome. Max, give it up for Mr. Scott Kirkpatrick. All right. This one goes without saying, but it was written down, so I'm going to say it and say amen. Sherry, Your smile and hugs are always brightening my day. Let's give it up for Sherry. All right. Yeah, Sherry. Look at that.
I'll share.
Okay, yeah. All right. Kirkpatrick family, you're the rock stars this morning. Mrs. Kirkpatrick included in this. Your family is such a gift to so many. Loving, giving, caring, a blessing to me. I love that I can call you my family. Let's give it up for the Kirkpatricks. All right, this is from Jasper. I'm sorry, I had to tell on you. Here it is. Melissa Winningham, my mama. Thank you for being such a light during dark times. Thank you for helping make Asher's service perfect. He loves you, and so do I and Thomas. Give it up for Melissa. Where is Melissa? Is she in the back? Okay, right back in the back. There it is, right there. Woo! She's waving. Right. Finally, Justine, your presence lights up. Your presence lights up the room. You give the best hugs. Thanks for being, for brightening my day. Let's give it up for Justine. Man, that's pretty exciting. All these good things. Now let's do something a little bit more mundane. It's called the housekeeping stuff, announcements. And so our fellowship dinner is tonight over at the Kirkpatricks. Starts at 5:30. Bring your favorite dish. Come on and enjoy with the family. And that starts again at 5:30 at their place. College age group, because of sickness and travels and everything else, I didn't want to be preaching to my wife, although we are amazing. It'd be kind of wild. So anyway, we're going to take a bye this week on college age group. Honey, you look as young as a young college age woman. So there you go. Eric, you look as handsome as a young college age man. I'm trying to repent of what I did earlier. All right, so, save the date time. Save the date time. The last day of the month is the 31st. It's the fifth Sunday of the month. Here at the Pleasant Hill, we're going to have the fifth Sunday rally. And we're going to do some singing, and I'm inviting some folks from other congregations to come up and do some singing and some leading up some songs. It should be great. And so I want you to come out and sing with me. And then there's going to be good food as well. So you know how people love to gravitate towards food? Let's gravitate towards praising God, and the food is like the afterthought afterwards. How does that sound? And?
What time?
Oh, we start at 6 o'clock. Thank you. 6 o'clock. Not 6:30, but 6 o'clock. So Cynthia handed this off to me, and I think this is so cool. It's been a while. So it says, Ladies Retreat coming up Friday, May 31st, beginning at 4 p.m. to Sunday, June 2nd at 11 a.m. And you know what? They're going to Belknap Springs, Hot Springs. How many of you have ever been up there before? Oh, wow. Okay, so the men is having the retreat the next weekend. No, I'm just kidding. It's gorgeous up there. I'm kind of envious, but I'll let you girls do your thing. All right, so, by the way, the guys is August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. It's up in the mountains. There's no hot springs, gentlemen. It's all cold water. But please know that we're going to the same place. So if you want to go swimming, we're going to go up to Summit Lake and do some swimming like we did a couple years ago. And we're going to hang out with lots of good men. So there you go. Save the dates. Any other things I should announce?
Yes, the cleaning clipboard.
Oh, the cleaning clipboard is hiding. The cleaning clipboard. Here we go. I'm going to hand it off to the McKinneys first. So if you want to come down and help clean the building, one of these. by the way, it is the last week in April and the last week in March. Okay, the last week in April, the last week in March.
What is it?
That needs
cleaning?
Yeah, it needs cleaning. Oh. It's cleaning. That's what you said, right?
Cleaning clipboard.
Oh, it's a cleaning clipboard. That's what I'm making fun of. There you go. You don't have to do it. I'm just kidding. All right. Oh, there's another announcement. Oh, yes.
Please eat the rest of the stuff in the back. Miriam, is that her name?
Miriam, yes.
Miriam made some lovely treats back there. So if there's extras and you grab guys feel like you want to take some home, please do so, or else, I don't know what to do.
Thomas is going to eat them all.
Yeah, Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas will have to eat them all. Come on. We have this one young man that comes out to our college age group. It's so cool when he shows up. Because all of us are trying to lose weight, and he loves to eat sugar. So it's like, and he's young. I mean, he's like, how old is he? 20-something?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. He takes it all. We're going, yay, go for it. It's wonderful. So, Thomas, I'm just kidding. We don't want you to eat all of those. Okay? Whatever you like. All right, let's grab our Bibles. Let's get ready to rock and roll. Here it is. We're going to stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Here we go. My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. And how long will you assail a man that you may murder him? All of you, like a leaning tower, a tottering fence. They have counsel only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Sounds like the guy in verse 3 and verse 4 is somebody I wouldn't want to hang out with. That's important. We're not talking about God's man. We're talking about the devil's man. The guy who's nasty. The first two is the saint, you and I. Look at verse 5. Speaking more about the saints, my soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge, is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balances they go up, they are altogether lighter than breath. Do not trust in oppression, and do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. Again, verse 9 and 10 is the guy, the gal you don't want to be. Life is miserable in that place. But look at the last closing comments, the concluding passages that we're going to work on today. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, the power belongs to God. And loving kindness is yours, O Lord, for you recompense a man according to his work. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful indeed for the rich blessing of being your children. I pray, Father, that you would help us to recognize what David, King David, is trying to help us to understand. He's trying to help us to understand that you alone are the one who is absolutely trustworthy, immovable. And we must build our lives upon your Son, Jesus Christ. And in so doing, we would not run ahead. We would not try to solve our problems on our own wisdom, but rather seek you always in the great things that you've called us to do and be. You know, King David was a man after your own heart. And he exemplifies that by always reaching out to you in prayer before doing any great endeavor, always giving you the credit, always waiting on you to teach him and guide him in whatever endeavor it would be, whether it was planning to build a beautiful and gorgeous temple that his son would build, or whether it was taking on the armies of evil so that they would not destroy your people. In all ways, David humbled himself and was a servant, a weapon in your hand to serve your will. Help us, Father, to be those same kinds of people. Let us refuse to listen to the world and the carnal, worldly thinking that oftentimes would cause us to be selfish, hurting not only ourselves but others around us. Father, help us to know that our power comes from your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to understand, Father, that your Son, Jesus Christ, is that perfect pattern of loving kindness and mercy that we ought to show to others. I ask this in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. I only want to spend just a few moments talking about the first point once again, and it basically is this, is that we really do need to learn to allow God to lead us. We really do need to learn to be silent, calling out to God, asking Him for help, and then listening instead of running ahead. Remember, it was a couple of weeks ago we talked about that, and there was such head bombing in that first lesson about, yeah, I have a tendency to run ahead. Yes, I have a tendency to get myself into a mess and go, help! See? And TJ was so gracious to allow me to use him as an example. But you know, brother, that's how oftentimes we do it. It's that human thing. It's that worldly thing. I can solve this. Well, the reality is that when we try to do that on our own, the great creator of our particular soul, our particular person and spirit, he's the one that knows us better than we know ourselves. Why don't we yield ourselves to him? That's really what this first part is about. And as I've meditated on this passage for several weeks now, I'm ashamed to say that even though I know this, sometimes I still run ahead. And it's been about 2 months I've been working on this. And I catch myself now, almost instantaneously running ahead and going, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Let me just pray. As I've shared with you, things have changed a lot for me in the last couple months as I've begun to really understand what it means. Don't run ahead. Just know that God has it covered. He's seen it. He knows it. He understands it. I'm going to ask him how to work in this life situation. And then no one gets hurt. Not me and not those people I work with. I don't know about you, but I'm deeply thankful for that. Maybe some of you are also, too. See? But you know the second thing that is that part where I always go back to me. The second point is don't go back to the old man. Don't go back to the old, what I call stinking thinking. I think if I'm tough enough, and if I'm rough enough, and I'm strong enough, kind of sounds like an old rock and roll song, sorry. Okay? I'm not. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if I do things on my own strength, oftentimes I do the wrong thing. So don't go back to that old man. I pray that we would all spend a lot of time meditating on this particular psalm. So we don't go back to that old man. In fact, it's kind of interesting as I've been working on this. Wow, there are many psalms where David cries out to God. Almost identical to this, but when we remember some of the horrible situations he was in, and we realize those psalms are reaching out to God because, I got myself in a mess again! And then God comes through and helps him figure out how to get it done. I don't know about you, but as I read through the Psalms more and more, I'm really being encouraged. So the last point is point number 3. It's at the end or the back of your sheets. Oh, by the way, you boys pass those all out. Thank you. It's point number 3. Point number 3 is trust and rely on the Lord only. And I want to focus just on those two verses. And you know those two verses are powerful. It's the concluding statement. David, here is my concluding statement. I've talked about resting in God, don't going back to the old man stinking thinking. He says, here is the conclusion. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this. That's what David says. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this. Actually, the translators really botched what David said. Here's what David said. You go back and look at it in the Hebrew as it's constructed in the original language. God has said to me, two things are vitally important. You're saying, well, that is completely different, isn't it? Here it says, once God has spoken, twice I have heard this. Well, if God spoke once and I've heard it twice, I'm confused. How does that work? So I went back and I went, that doesn't quite sound right. Here's what he should have written down. The translator, okay? God has said this. There's two things that are really important. Now I can get my brain wrapped around that. Okay, God, what are the two things? Say, but the other one, I was confused. See, I was trying to do, it wasn't working. So when you go back to the original language, that's what David actually said. I've heard you say this, God, that there's two important things. The first one, by the way, as you well know, is that God here, as he speaks here, God is the only one that has the power over all things. We have a tendency to want to believe that we do. But it says here, God, the power belongs to God. When Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, notice, where's the emphasis? Me, Paul, or God? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But Paul recognizes, without Christ, he becomes a what? What was he before Christ? What was Saul, who became Paul, before he met Jesus? Who was he? Tell me a little about that guy.
Murderer.
He was a murderer of Christians. He was exterminating the church. Would you say that guy is probably not a spirit-filled guy? I would say he's missing something. He thought he was such a religious guy. I'm doing this as God's will. Actually, he was doing the devil's will under the guise of being religious. He wasn't living like Jesus whatsoever. But when he finally became a Christian, guess what happened? All of a sudden he realized, look, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. I can do all things in service to God through Jesus' strength, not my own. He's the one that has the power. By the way, I want you to know that the Greek word for power here, it's the word oz. I thought it was the word Oz, and I was thinking, yeah, that gives me a bad picture of some weirdo behind a black screen pulling, you know what I'm talking about, the Wizard of Oz? And I go, no, I got to find out with my little machine here, how is that pronounced in Hebrew? I'm hoping it's not Oz. Woo! Praise God, it's Oz. That's the Hebrew word, Oz. You're saying, okay, whatever. Well, what does that word actually mean? It actually means strength and power to accomplish. Strength and a power to accomplish. So when Paul said, I can do all things through Christ's strength, see, he was actually saying the right thing. See, God's got the power, and that power can work through you and I. But notice, we have to recognize first where the power source is. Is the power source you? Is it me? Or is it him? See, that's why this is the perfect conclusion. Power is from God. You think oppression and murder and robbery and you think that's power? That's going to get you in the wrong place forever in eternity. God's the one. See, I love this. And so as I was looking at that, true strength is from God. True strength is from Elohim. Elohim means the sovereign creator of all things. How many of you know the Bible says Jesus is the creator of all things, both visible and invisible, whether rulers, authorities, dominions, or kingdoms. Jesus is the creator and ruler over all things. Elohim. Power comes from Jesus. Strength to accomplish his will comes from Jesus. I got so excited. What was it, 2 days ago? Brother, when we sat down over at Starbucks, they have terrible music over there. But anyway, I wasn't listening to the music, although it was like, turn the music off. It was great because we were just excited about, then we'll do this and do this. And I said, I can live up here. And he goes, God, that's awesome. Notice the power was from God's word. It's great. He goes, hey, I got this lesson. I got five scriptures. And everyone was like, yeah, that's great. That's awesome. I used to use those. That's great. And I said, what's your next? And he goes, I'm going to do the next one on this. And I said, hey, have you thought about diligence? He goes, oh. And so, I mean, it's like these two little kids. Wow, this is great. Awesome. Notice the excitement came from what? Our depending on God and his word to give us the answers. I don't know about you, but strength comes from him. The ability and the power to is given by him to accomplish. Has he gifted each one of us individually? Yes, he has. Each one individually. And so we're using the gifts that we have because he gave us those gifts, those talents and abilities, and we're using them for his service. And the more we do that, the greater impact we have in the lives of others. Just like Melissa used her sweet spirit and her experience to touch Jaspin and be there for Jaspin in her young life, and as she's grown up, she's made some great decisions, and now she, as a young Christian woman, is touching the lives of others. You see the power? The power is not from us. All these wonderful things we sing is not from me, heaven forbid. Don't think I had anything to do with this except for being a willing vessel. And you are a willing vessel, and together we change the world. It's his power. Tell you what, it's awesome when we don't run ahead, because we rarely run our life into the ditch if we don't run ahead, if we allow him to lead. I was talking with Brian Bragg here just a few moments ago, and some others know about this. I was talking about a great plan that I have to solve a problem that the church has here. And then my sweet wife said, well, you know what you ought to think? And then Brian says, okay. And I'm reaching out to you, Eric, because you're a manager of people, and so I'm going to ask your opinion. But see, what am I doing? I'm realizing, you know what? I may not be the guy, but there are just this amazing group of awesome people in Christ who love him or serving him and could give that wise counsel. Doesn't the Bible say somewhere that in many counselors there is victory? Isn't there a Bible verse somewhere? I know there's several of them, actually. So I need some wise counsel. And so I'm reaching out to those who can give me wise counsel. See? I was a little bit impetuous yesterday, TJ. Thank you very much for standing by my side. But that was Bill being impetuous, and maybe we ran me into a ditch. But anyway, we're getting help here, man. Eric and Brian and my wife, and we're getting some help. Okay? All right. I was just showing you that sometimes the old man can get you in trouble. Right? All power, all strength comes from God. David listened to God and did what he said. I would encourage you to read Psalms, and this is on your own time, Psalms 28 verses 1 and 2. Awesome. Psalms 28 verse 1 and 2, and then read verse 6 through 9. That is even more incredible. And then look at the context. Why did David pray this prayer? And this is like, help me, kind of prayer. It's cool. And go back and look at the context. It was David who had kind of run the car in the ditch, and he's really in trouble, life and death situation. So he calls out to God, and God delivers him. Huh. I know none of you have ever had that experience. So, but read it and try to relate. All right? Well, he only is our strength and our security from evil people. That's the context here of Psalm 62, and that's really the context of Psalm 28. You see, Jesus Christ is our strength. He is our defense from evil people. Do you remember a guy named Peter? Anybody remember a guy named Peter? Remember a guy named Peter? Doing his thing, what God told him to do. And what happens? His fellow apostle, James, gets killed because the ruling Romans wanted to kill him, and they got him. And then they snatch up who? They snatch up Peter, and they put Peter in prison. And it was a little bit late in the day to adjourn the kangaroo court to convict him of a wrong that he didn't do so they could kill him. All right? Here's Peter in prison. What's Peter doing? Tell me what Peter's doing in prison. He's shackled to two Roman guards. You know the event. What was he doing? That's more like me, but I think maybe Peter was snoring like a baby, man. I mean, that guy was out. How do we know he was out? The angel, Peter, get up. Whack! It says the angel whacked him. Get up! And he went, whoops, whoops. And the chains that he was latched to those Roman guards fell off. And he's kind of like, look, get your coat, man. We got to get going. He gets his coat, and he's stumbling out. The gate's open, and the prison guards can't see him. He's walking right out. Do you think Peter, and Peter was probably a strong guy because he's a fisherman, but can you see Peter going, you know what, I'm going to pop these chains. Boom! And I'm Superman. You know, whack, whack. These guys are done. Open those bars, right? That's what I'm going to do. Because God in my head is not playing about opening. And just, well, you know, whack out 16 Roman soldiers who are trained to kill. And Peter, a fisherman that knows how to catch fish, but not very successfully, as some of us know. He's going to do that on his own strength?
Yeah, I'm Peter.
No. Now look, we got to know that God is our strength. Now, Peter went to sleep knowing, you know what, whatever God's will is, if my number's up, God's used me. I've been faithful. Okay? A couple times I had a little glitch in my record. I'm denying him three times. But you know what? I've been faithful. Well, but he was sleeping like a baby because he knew that whatever happened, it was God's will. What was the church doing? They weren't trying to break him into the prison. They weren't bringing all their M16s and mortars and blowing it up and rescuing him because that's a great way to go because we can do this. Now, that's not what they did. What were they doing? Praying. Now, you're saying these are all silly examples. They're not silly examples. They're the reality of sometimes we do what? We rely on the old man. You know what the last point is? This is a tremendous point. The last point is that together we need to be loving and kind, and we will radically change the world. Look at the last point here in Psalm 62. Power belongs to God, and loving kindness is yours, O Lord. You want to really change people? Oh yeah, by oppression you can change people, but do you really change people, or you just force them to behave the way they don't want to behave until the force is taken away or you walk away? Is that changing people? That's not changing people. If you don't do that, I'm going to fire you. If you don't do that, I'm going to do this to you. Does that change people?
No.
Yes or no?
No,
it
rustles
them up. Well, yeah, it rustles them up. They might do the change, you know, cosmetically, okay, whatever. But as soon as that force goes away, they go right back to who they were, and you said it, sometimes worse.
Yeah.
You haven't brought in about any change. But you know what love and kindness does? Love and kindness brings about change. Brother, just a few comments here so we recognize, and you know all of this. This word, loving kindness, is actually the word mercy. But that really, and I'm not telling God's not teaching it right, but that word is the mercy, a mercy in Hebrews, or the language of Hebrew, but it means to be zealous in love for the brethren and show our love by acts of goodness and kindness. That's what it means. To have a zealous love for the brethren, and actually even those who are outside who are not yet Christians, a zealous love for them, and then prove it by your good and kind actions. Do you see how loving kindness then is relatively easy? It means I'm going to love them. I'm going to sacrifice my life for them with doing good words, kind actions. I wish you were all here. There is a video recording. It's on your wasn't it on your Facebook page? Yes, if you were to listen to everyone who spoke about Jaspin and Thomas and their lives in the ER, their lives in the hospital, their lives in the NICU, their lives after that, and how they had such a profound impact, and you know what? It was not because they got their Bible and said, hey, y'all got to sit down and do a Bible study. No, that's not what it was. It was living the life, showing Jesus. That love and those kind acts and those kind words, that's what made an impact. And I think that impact is going to continue, as there were many that reached out to you yesterday. And one of your dear sweet friends is here. And please forgive me, I've forgotten your name already.
Brittany.
Brittany is here because meeting Jaspin, seeing what happened yesterday with all the other people, Brittany wants to be here. She wants to learn Jaspin's faith, which is Jesus' faith. You see the power? The power of loving kindness, the power of being zealous to sacrifice oneself for others, and through kind words and kind deeds, they actually see Jesus? That's powerful. Brethren, David closes with this little phrase. And loving kindness is yours, O Lord, and you recompense a man according to his work. We get to choose the man or woman we're going to be. I love that one. God gives us the choice. You can choose however you want to be. If you want to be one of those old carnal guys or gals that believes in their own self and pull up my bootstraps, I'm going to trash people until I get what I want. You know, we don't ever say that, but sometimes we do that selfishly. We can be that person, or we can be the person that Jesus says, welcome to this beautiful kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was a prisoner, and you came and visited me. I was sick, and you came and helped me. See, notice those people are the what? The loving, kind people who are following in the footsteps of Jesus by the power that he gives through his Spirit inside and his Word. Isn't that amazing? I don't know about you, but when Jesus comes back, that's going to be a great day. It's going to be awesome. See, we're going to be rewarded richly, not only with heaven forever, but each one of us honored and gifted specifically in front of everybody else. And I know a lot of people don't like to stand up in front of others, but when King Jesus says, Justine, honey, I want you to come up here because I want to tell on you all those amazing things you did for so many people, she's going to go, okay, Lord, whatever you say. Why? Because your heart. See? I don't know about you, but I think that's awesome. That's what the Bible says is going to happen. So, we got a choice here, folks. We can choose not to run ahead and seek Jesus' will. Ask good brothers and sisters in Christ for wisdom and help. Say, search the Word. Do what the Word says. Okay? So that you don't be like that old, stinking, thinking, selfish person that used to run your life into the ditch. And sometimes if you let him or her go, they still run you in the ditch. See, we got a choice. And I have to be honest with you. I'm really working on this guy. And I'm not going to do that. But I love allowing the Word to do that. On me, for me. And if the shoe fits, let's wear it. You know what I'm saying? So let's go forth and put our hope completely in God and his power and in his love. Amen? Let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Father, for Psalm 62. There's still much there, I know, that has not been uncovered or discovered. But Father, as we read through Psalms, so oftentimes David is praying a very similar prayer of help. His need for your strength, your power, your love. Father, help us to be good listeners. Ones who are yielded, as been shared earlier today, continually throughout the day, it seems like, yielded to your will. That, Father, you could work powerfully in us and through us. How we praise you and thank you for your word. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's all get standing. What did Jesus say to do? He said to go. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that. Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings, King of Kings. All right, Max, come up here. Max is going to show us how it's done. Can you do what you just did back there and I was watching you do it? Huh? Here's Max. I'm going to show you what he did. Waiting for Lorraine. Woo! All right, go get it done, man. Thank you very much. Have a great day and an awesome week.